comments and stories you're about to hear may not be suitable for some. Listener discretion advised.
All right now, boys and girls, we want to introduce...
Please allow me to adjust my pants. Listen.
Man it up. Run as fast as you can.
I'm gonna give you what you need.
Get ready for BAM Radio.
Let me do it one more time. It's Radio BAM. Fucking idiot.
What the hell am I talking about?
It's Radio BAM.
And now. Here's BAM.
Here's BAM.
What's up, some bitches? This is Radio BAM, and I'm here with Will Pendarvis and my manager, Terry Hardy. I just flew in from California, and I'm not too happy about it because I had a 5 a.m. flight. Wow. And the biggest jerk-off picked me up. It was the most talkative. He must have been Jewish because my girlfriend is Jewish, and she recognized a Jew when she hears one. And this guy could not find my house to save his life. And it was such a pain in the ass because it's like, it's so easy. You drive down 842.
Well, I don't think you want to tell everybody where you live.
I know. And you make a left on so-and-so road. You go all the way up that until you see a big, huge, massive fence. He's like... All right, well, I made the left, so, like, do I keep going past the rock? Like, what rock? I don't, fuck the rock. Like, just keep on driving until you find the fence. He's like, all right, well, I don't see a fence yet. Well, because you didn't pass it yet. Once you see a massive fence, like, dude, this guy was not getting it whatsoever, and he was already, like, 30 minutes late.
Wow. And in his defense, you do live in a compound deep in the forest.
Sounds like nowhere.
Yeah. Egypt.
And, like, you know, it doesn't take much to piss my girlfriend off, but she's just, like, holding the phone, like, outside, like, just shaking her head, like, are you kidding me? You gotta be kidding me about this dude. Like, look, the rock is irrelevant. I don't know what rock you're talking about. Is all I know is that go past it until you see a huge, massive fence that you cannot miss. Like, you literally can't, and there's cameras everywhere. Like, and this guy's like, yeah, I didn't. It was so annoying. And then what was even more annoying was... When I got into the car, it was 5 in the morning, so all I wanted to do was sleep in it. He's like, so, what's your name? I'm like, my name is Sleep. Really? Well, what's your first name? I wanna sleep. You know, like, oh, that's cool, so would you grow up around here? Like, you just don't get it, do you, dude? And then, of course, you have to tip him because then I'm gonna get a bad name or whatever. Like, my buddy Lennon went to a party in Westchester, and, he's like, yeah, I mentioned your name at this party. And so he's like, oh, Bam is such an asshole. Like, he's like, how come? Oh, he went to TGI Fridays in Exton one time, and he didn't even tip me. I have never been to TGI Fridays in Exton in my entire motherfucking life. So, like, there must have been some dude with, like, a red shirt and a crooked beanie who she might have thought was me or something, you know? And she's like, oh, you must be Bim. And then they say, oh, yeah, because they get that a lot around Westchester, you know?
Maybe Vito was there and did buffalo wings or something like that.
Yeah, you and Vito look a lot alike.
So. Yeah, I know. Oh, and then his asshole buddy Wayne, he always, like... Really drunk girls, like, sometimes think that he's me. I don't know how, because he looks like a fucking weasel. they mistake him for Steve-O and me and Steve-O do not look anything alike. Totally. But, like, you know, he'll, like, hump the girls because of that, and then they'll wake up the next day thinking that they just banged me out.
You know, awesome.
Yeah, rad. And then another time at Applebee's in Kennett Square, same situation, like, which I did go to dinner there, but I was having a meeting, and the guy's like, don't worry about it, dude, I got this one. So he puts his credit card on the thing, and apparently, I guess he didn't tip very well, but I got the blame for it. I'm like, and then I saw the lady, she's like, you tipped me horrible. I'm like, I've been to that Applebee's once, and it was a meeting, and that guy offered to pay for it. Like, sorry that the dude who I had a meeting with that I just met gave you a bad tip, but it has nothing to fucking do with me. You know what I mean? Like,
that's it's all part of being a celebrity, Bam.
You
got a target on your back once you start making, you know, more and more money and more success, and everyone thinks you should tip more and more and more. Even if their service is shitty.
No, I heard Howard Stern was talking about how he, you know, always tips, what was it, like 100% or something? 200%? Something crazy like that. And he gets blamed for not tipping people.
Well, it's more fun to say, like, yeah, Howard Stern came into my restaurant, total dickhead, didn't even tip.
Yeah.
You know, it's more fun to say that than, like, oh, what a great guy.
Maybe she stopped tipping all the, just stopped tipping altogether. You know,
yeah.
Awesome.
Dude, my friend Hannah used to not tip whatsoever. He's like, why should I pay extra money for a meal that's $7.99? Why would I pay $10? Well, I just don't understand that. I'm like, well, don't eat with me then, dude. You know? You're going to make me look like a total jerk off.
Well, what made you get on an airplane at 5 o'clock this morning to come to Los Angeles? You're still awake, basically, right?
Yeah, pretty much, because... Well, you know, I just finished that Veins of Jenna video, and I'm going to Australia to do a Wolf Mother video tomorrow, so I wanted to have a little bit of time to do, you know, a serious radio, because I really hate having reruns, because all the diehard fans out there want to hear something new and what's going on for the new weekend, and the last thing they want to do is hear a friggin' rerun. So I flew in early for you jerks. Just so I could come into a radio show, play the Veins of Jenna thing, and then we're going to have a Jackass 2 screening for, like, Element and everybody. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired and bitter, but, you know, at least we got a new show, and I'm going to tell you about some more shit. But for now, I'm going to be playing, what are we going to start off with? Oh, we're going to start off with Placebo, their new album, Meds. This song is called Infrared. Dude, I like every song on this album, but let's hear it. This is Radio Bam Series 28 Faction in California. Later.
It's on the radio channel now.
No.
Yeah.
You're fucking kidding me.
Can't say that.
I'm sorry.
Serious 28 Faction.
That was Placebo, Infrared, and I was just telling you about the limo driver who was taking me to the Philadelphia airport at 5 in the morning trying to talk to me. Not to mention, I forgot the main thing. He hit a fucking deer.
Oh, no. Oh, oops, forgot that part.
It wasn't like a major thing, but it definitely scratched the side of the car. And I'm already late as it is because he couldn't find the fucking house, and he kept talking about this rock that I had no idea was there. I'm like, just look for the fence. So he gets out, and he's looking at the dent. I'm like, buddy, you looking at the fucking dent isn't going to fix the dent. What's done is done. Get me to the fucking airport. Like, you dwelling about a dent in your car is not going to make the dent go away. Like, you shouldn't even have looked at it. Just hop in your car and fucking take me to the airport, you know? Oh, we just hit a deer. Yes, you hit the deer ran away, the deer's fine, and so is your car. It's a little fender bender, you'll fix it. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck, dude? Getting out there and looking at it as I'm late for a flight is not going to, like, make that car any better. Like, the damage has been done.
Well, maybe you wanted to get the information on the deer's insurance company.
Yeah.
Man, track down the deer.
Your life is a living hell, Bam.
Not to mention the cab dude that hit my car on Vine and Hollywood and then fleed the scene.
Oh, yeah, this is the cab that hit your Lamborghini and then took off.
Yeah.
What's going on with that, man? Did they ever track that guy down?
Well, he had crutches. He came out with crutches, and he was like, yeah, this is all your fault. All my fault? Yeah, right, dude. Wait till the police get here. You're driving around in crutches with a fucking foot cast. You're doomed any way you look at it. Then I think he really did get scared. So his Armenian ass took off and fled the scene.
Awesome.
Man almighty, dude.
I got a question for you, Ben. You mentioned that you were going to go to a screening of the new Jackass movie. Have you seen the thing yet? Have you seen the whole thing?
I haven't seen it completely from start to finish. I've always seen clips, and then, you know, they wanted to change songs and stuff like that. But I have not seen the opening, which I'm looking really forward to seeing, because I'm not going to give it away. But is all that I'm saying is that I like being in control of my stunts, and the opening of this, I'm not in control because it involves really wild animals. And when I finished the opening of the movie and I wasn't too hurt, I was pretty thankful for that, but I still got a tattoo of a grizzly bear fucking a kitty cat, and the cat is saying, fuck Jeff. And Jeff is Jeff Tremaine, the director, who made me do the opening. I showed him the day I got it. He was laughing his ass off so bad. Awesome. Like, man, I have some pretty bad tattoos, but I mean, a big fat grizzly bear humping a little cute little kitty cat saying, fuck Jeff, that's a pretty retarded ass tattoo. Thank God it's on my legs and I barely wear shorts.
Awesome. Well, what you have seen of the movie, I mean, without giving anything away, how would you compare it to the first Jackass movie?
This one I'm definitely more proud of, because it seemed like, I mean, Jackass 1 is fucking great, don't get me wrong, but we came out of doing like 5 seasons of a show straight to a movie, so we are already burnt as it is. You know, with this movie, we had a 4-year window where everybody was just dying to get hurt again. So as soon as we started filming, we fly into Florida, and everybody, you know, it's just like, all right, who wants to get their dick chopped off and then throw it in the river? Like, me. Everybody's like dying to do it, when before it was just like, all right, who wants to do this pretty lousy stunt? Like, oh, I don't feel like getting hurt today, you know? Like, this time, everybody was hungry to take the best stunt, and awesome. It really shows. And if this movie doesn't make loads of money, I'm going to eat my hat.
Did anybody get fucked up during filming or hurt bad?
Dude, Knoxville bruises so easily. I think at one point, like, 50% of his entire body was just black and blue.
Wow.
And, Steve-O went to the hospital for a real bad, I think he did something bad to his back, but, he was out for like 50% of the movie, and, you know, when that healed, he really had to take care of business for the last few months of filming, because, there was one point where, like, we had 70% of the movie done, and Steve-O probably had 3 things, which is, you know, yeah. you're supposed to have at least 20 or something,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wow. Who's the most willing person out of the whole group? Who's the most willing person to take one for the team, would you say?
I think on this movie,
Knoxville, just because.
Really? But he's Mr. Movie Star.
Yeah,
I want to bruise that pretty face.
Well, I think maybe you realize that nobody gave a shit about him having two heads in Men in Black, and, you know, I mean, he might have got $1 million or whatever he got for having two heads in Men in Black, but, like, dude, people want to see him get kicked in the dick, dude. They don't want to see him wearing two alien heads, and I think you realize that, and that's why he went so all out on this one, because, and the cool thing is, like, you know, I'll do a stunt, Steve-O will do a stunt, and, like, you know, I've seen Steve-O dwell on doing a bit for 40 minutes before he actually decided to do it. Knoxville just show up with a smile on his face like, what am I doing? Getting on this rocket, getting blasted to the moon? Well, shit, let's do it. You know, like, right. He won't even think about it one bit. And I think that that's what's cool, because there is no, like, downtime with him. It's just like, just get me on the fucking thing and send me to the moon. I don't care, you know? Like, and that's what makes it rad.
Awesome.
But, yeah, man, there's a lot of people coming up to the Paramount lot today to check it all out. And then off to Australia for a Wolf Mother video, which is going to be the single for the new movie.
Oh, awesome.
And, yeah, I guess I'm excited to go to Australia. I just don't want to go on that fucking long-ass flight.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the flight on here, which was another thing. So I'm so mad about chit-chatting with the guy. Like, dude, I was laying in the back of the limo just, like, fake snoring just so the guy would leave me the fuck alone. And he's still just like, so who was that outside? Was that your sister and your brother? I'm like, nope, that was my girlfriend and my uncle. Oh, cool. So what are they all about? They're about sleeping, and that's what I want to do right now. And you can't fucking understand that. Like, dude, that guy missed his calling, dude, because he should not be a driver. Not to mention, he was, like jolting the car so bad, like, on the highway. Like, he would let the car go so close to another car and then jam on the brakes. And he did it so many times. Like, it's like, dude, you're a driver. Drive the car smooth. You know what I mean?
You should have pretended you had a hearing problem or a deaf, and then just looked at him and you know, pointed at your ears like, what do you say? I don't understand.
And I'm not one to talk, because I drive like a dickhead, dude. Like, I'll weave through traffic, man. Like, one second I'll be in the fast lane, the other second I'll cut over five lanes to be in the, like, the slower lane just to get past six cars. You know, and I'm mad at this guy. I actually wanted to just hit cruise control and go in the slow lane. That's how bad of a driver he was. So then I sit down in the plane. I'm like, thank God I could finally just sit here and relax. Then somebody sits down like, oh, so, you know, what are you doing up here in first class with all these tattoos and all? It's just like, sleeping, dude. Like, no. You know, so everybody wants to know, dude, if you have, like, loads of, like, bracelets and all this shit, and then tattoos that say bookworm on your knuckles, like, they want to know why you're sitting first class. And, like, I usually just say, skateboarder, dude, leave me alone. I don't say the leave me alone part, because then they'd write letters to how I'm a dickhead, you know, just like those Applebee and TGI Friday right. Jerk-offs.
Now, you know, you should tell them, you should say, I'm the guy that you're spending so much money on to buy all your kids' presents and skateboards and all that. And all that money you spent over Christmas for all your kids, that was me.
Oh, man. Have I ever taken you to Duffer's in Westchester?
Yeah.
Well, we went to Duffer's, and this drunk-ass bitch comes up, and I'm in the middle of a pool game with a buddy who I haven't seen in so long. And she comes up, like, so rude. She's like, you're going to talk to my nephew from Florida because I make you money and I've bought your T-shirts and you're going to talk to him. I'm like, that's fine, lady, but, like, there's a different way to approach somebody, and that's not it. I'm in the middle of a pool game. You could have said, like, when you're done your pool game, can you please talk to, like, you know, my nephew from Florida? But, like, she's like, no, I don't care about your pool game. You're going to talk to him. It's just like, dude, I got so fed up. I was just like, you know what? Fuck you. You know, I'm not going to talk to your nephew. I'm in the middle of the pool game, and you were so rude about it. You know, like, no, you're the one that's rude. Like, she came up and argued with me, and now I have, like, 10 of my buddies on my side. And she's like, I'm never buying a thing of yours again. I'm like, I hope you fucking don't, because I don't want somebody like you wearing my shit, because you're such a fucking bitch, dude.
No, that's the thing, dude. I've been out with you enough to know that, you know, dude, you're way cool with everybody. I mean, like, when we stopped at that gas station and those gangsters came up and stuff, I mean, you're like, well, of course you could be nice to them.
You have to be nice to them.
But you're nice to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if I'm at the bar at 2 a.m. buzzing, I'm still nice to everybody. Like, but if you come up and approach me like that in the middle of a pool game, like, you're going to talk to my nephew because I make you money by buying your shirts. Not to mention she's dialing the wrong number. Like, hello? Who's this? Oh, shit. I dialed the wrong number. Hang on. You know, and I'm sitting there waiting politely as my buddy's waiting. Like, he's like, you're shot, dude. You're solid. You know, I'm like, yeah, no, hang on. You know, and then after a while, it's just like, you know what, lady? You need to fucking quit drinking, get your shit together, and approach me in a nicer way, because you might think I'm a dickhead, but I think you're a fucking cunt, dude.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
A demanding one at that.
A demanding cunt. So this one goes out to her. This is Rammstein. Woo Bee Stew. It's German. I don't even know what it means, but the riff rocks. This is Radio Bam Serious 28 Faction. Fuck the girl from Duffers.
Don Vito's ass.
This is Radio Bam, baby.
On Faction 28.
All right, we're back. That was Rammstein. I'm here with Will Pendarvis and Terry Hardy, a.k.a. manager. And,
what's that job like?
Yeah, what is that job like?
It's kind of like a cross between a circus ringleader and a... it's probably just about a circus... that's probably the best way to put it, circus ringleader.
Awesome.
No, it's really not that bad. I think everyone has a different opinion of what they think it may be like. And I've worked for and with other really major people. And to be honest with you, Bam's one of the easiest ones because he knows what he wants and it's there and it's easy to make happen.
It's just so hard when, like, you know, you give me a damn phone call. It says, like, yeah, Cheese Nips just called. They want $2 million for you to promote their product. Like, God damn, I just hate Cheese Nips, but I gotta say no. You know, like, I think a Rikard commercial, like, I actually have fun doing those, and it's a one-day shoot, and, you know, Vito's there, like, drunk as hell, total piece of work. You know, like, it's a funny thing, and it's great money, and it's I truly don't think it's cheesy. I think it would be cheesy if I was like, I'm Bam Margera, Cheese Nips are delicious, you know, like, you know, and that's what Terry does. He weaves out the good and the bad, even if it's loads of money.
Oh, Terry's going to take that little piece right there. I'm Bam Margera and Cheese Nips are delicious. And he's going to sell it to him.
Nabisco, call us, please. Yeah. Anybody out there working for Nabisco?
Yeah.
But we do have cases and cases of Budweiser showing up for free now because Vito won't shut up about how he loves Bud Select on the show.
Awesome.
So I had to call Budweiser for a year straight to make him understand what the situation was. And we took the first step of free Bud for Vito. And he called me twice over the weekend to say thanks.
Really?
Wow.
Even though a case a week for Vito will last 3 hours with him and his fucking scumbag buddies.
Hey, you know, I love that that new Charger. Those look awesome. I'm just hoping they're going to mail me one.
The Charger?
Yeah.
Oh, the Dodge Charger.
Yeah, the Dodge Charger. Yeah,
yeah, anybody out there in Adland, listen to this great coverage you can get. Just call me.
did you hear about Vito went to a Phillies game, and they were playing the Mets, and Vito happened to choke out one of the Mets or something. Did you hear about this?
No,
it was in the papers.
No, I heard he got kicked out of a game.
Yeah, he got kicked out of the whole thing, and, like, the Mets were considering suing Vito. And the newspaper article says, like, I was just trying to defend the Phillies. Like, I ain't trying to get sued over deal, but, you know, like, I'm at a Phillies game, and, you know, if the Mets are winning and a Mets player comes by me to say, I got to choke him out, you know what I mean? Like, he actually choked him, and Vito, like,
oh my God.
Vito's such a drunk idiot, he doesn't know how hard he's choking somebody, and the guy probably lost a little bit of air supply, and he probably got really upset because 20,000 people just saw him get choked out looking like a fool.
Well, then, and you just did that thing for MTV, too, that Rock Awards thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Vito was in the building, and he brought his own Budweiser in, right? And they were freaked out?
No. We were filming at CBGB's, and, you know, Vito shows up shit-faced, of course. And now that we're at a bar and we weren't supposed to drink, he's like, fuck you, I'm drinking, we're at a bar, and I'm going to have a Budweiser. So now, and the problem with what MTV, like, they think them taking away Vito's Budweiser in order to do the shot will make him, like, stop drinking. The fact that he knows that you're going to take it away when it's time to film just makes him slug the whole beer. You know what I mean? Like, instead of just sipping on it, he's like, oh, here they come to take my beer away. So he slugs the whole thing, throws it in the trash, and then when he's done the shot, he'll go grab another one. And then when they come to take the beer away, he'll slug it again. So now he's going to get shit-faced 50% quicker because they take it away. It's just like, you know what, lady? Just let him keep the beer the whole time. That way he'll sip on it because he knows it, like, you know, like, shit, I better drink it because who knows when I'm going to have the next one.
Dude, that guy's a mess.
Oh, hell, dude, he's such a goddamn mess, and he was such a mess that as soon as we got the footage of him at CBGB's for the All That Rocks thing on MTV2, they kicked him out. And he was so drunk, he thought that it was time for him to go. No, he got kicked out. And I tell him, I'm like, Vito, I wasn't even drinking that day because I had so many goddamn lines to rehearse. I'm telling you that they were like, get your drunk-ass uncle out of here. They kicked you out. No, they didn't. It was time for me to go. I already did my part. Like, he's so stubborn and, like, he's so gullible, you know?
That's why I think a lot of people don't know is that, at least through my experience hanging out with, you know, the Viva La Bam guys, the Jackass guys, is, you know, not only is it really that way in real life, but, I mean, sometimes it's even more extreme off-camera than it is on-camera, you know?
Vito?
Everybody, you know?
Well, Vito thinks that there's
a camera on him 24/7, even when there's not. Like, if he's by himself getting gas at the gas station and a fan pulls up, like, yo, Vito, you're like, oh, no, get Budweiser, oh, get right on the stream, boo! Like, he, 24/7, he's just, like, a full-blown party. Like, I don't know how he does it. He's, like, 60. He goes to the freaking hospital every 3 months because he has, like, a bleeding ulcer. They tell him that he drinks too much, and then as soon as, like, he gets out of the hospital and the doctor says that he's better, he thinks it's back to drinking and partying when, like, it shouldn't be. Wow. It should be him calming the fuck down because even though they fixed the bleeding ulcer for the fifth time, like, he thinks that it's going to be A-okay. No, it's not going to be A-okay because you're going to drink your dude, he drinks, like, 40 Budweisers every single day. He takes fucking Vicodin with no pussy lined up. He takes Viagra, I mean. Then he takes he takes Viagra with no pussy lined up, which I do not understand. Yeah. He'll wake up, pop a Viagra. I'm like, why do you want a hard-on all day? You have no chicks. He's like, well, maybe it'll get me motivation to get chicks. You know, it's just like, dude, you're just going to cop feels on random-ass girls, and then they're not going to know how to handle it.
Wait, I got to run. I got to go back to my office and call Budweiser back and tell him not to send any beer to Vito.
The problem is he's going to get it whether you like it or not anyway.
Or Viagra. Mineral water. Budweiser mineral water.
No Viagra either. Yeah. Don't tell him not to send that.
And that's the thing. Like,
thanks for bringing that picture into my head, by the way, man. Appreciate it.
And I do get mad at Vito's friends for, like, supplying him with that shit. But the thing is, he's going to get it regardless, you know? Like, and that's the thing with, like, same with Novak. Like, you could be mad at the guy who's giving him the heroin back then, but, I mean, like, if it wasn't that dude, it'll be somebody else. Either way, he's going to get it, you know?
Right.
And that's the thing.
Maybe we should put Vito on an island. We'll have Survivor wherever, Vito.
Then he'll find coconuts filled with beer or something. Either way, he's going to get what he wants.
I put Vito in a room, and whoever can last in the room the longest with Vito wins $1 million.
Oh, dude, I pulled up to the beer mill the other day, because, I'll get to this, but I pull in with the Lambo, get, like, all these six-packs, which you could barely even fit a CD in the Lamborghini as it is. So now I have, like, all these cases of beer sitting on my buddy Oz, and there's all these people across the street looking from the auto body dealer. I fishtail out of the beer mill. Like, dude, what a hot outro, so bad. Like, full-blown fishtail in the middle of an intersection coming out of the beer mill.
Awesome.
It was so funny. And then we go and have a party at my house, and I had the brilliant idea. I have these two limousines sitting in the backyard, and I totally fishtailed. I got so stoked on the fishtail that I fishtailed the limo right into my pool.
Oh, no.
So the whole pool is filled with gas. It's probably getting towed out right now, and all the bricks from the pool got all fucked up, so now I gotta get all that redone. But, man, it sure was funny. Terry, didn't the day you bought your silver Porsche, you wrecked it?
A week after, I'm driving my brother, who's getting married, to his wedding. We're both in Texas. We're parked at a stoplight. Some fucking knucklehead in a Mercedes didn't even hit his brakes, doing 35, rear-ended us, and pushed us into a gardener's truck, and we went underneath it. So not only did the back of the car get fucking totaled, but the front of the car, we're sitting there in the middle, and we're like, what the fuck? And we're late for the wedding. So we had champagne, so we popped it and drank it by the side of the road until we got a taxi.
So was it, like, completely annihilated? Or?
Yeah, it had, like, they said we could fix it, but it's going to be $38,000 to fix it. I'm like,
what?
Fuck that. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's what gets me about driving the Lamborghini. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you'd, like, take out a car like that. I mean,
you just truly have to not care, you know? Like, if you're one of those dickheads who gets, like, a Ferrari or a Lamborghini and then, like, when you're opening up the door and then you ding the curb, you're like, oh, ding the curb, it's going to be $4,000. If you're going to whine about that, dude, don't buy one. Go get a fucking pickup truck or something, because, like, if you're going to have a sports car like that, just expect for it to get keyed, expect for you to pop the tire, expect for you to slam into a telephone pole. And if you don't expect that, then you're going to be a really upset person when it happens.
Right.
Or for a cab to accidentally sideswipe you. That may happen, too.
That could happen.
Man, the purple Lambo is all scratched up and, like, dented and stuff. I think it's kind of funny because who drives around a Lambo with, like, duct tape bumpers and fucking scratches all over the rims?
Man, you can set that thing on fire. It would still be nicer than my car.
We might have to, like, do a contest and give it away to a listener if we can get some charity or sponsor to come in and buy it.
Dude,
then we'll make it their
problem. No. Well, not until I get to borrow it for a week.
I think I like having it. I like having a Lambo on the West Coast and a Lambo on the East Coast. It's just more fun. Like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, you know what's fun about that? You know, Will, you want to borrow it? But I've driven it around a few times around L.A., and if you go anywhere, like when you're in traffic or something like that, kids recognize it. So the windows are tinted. They don't know who's in it. So they're like, taking pictures with their camera phones, doing all that. And then I roll down the window, and they're so fucking disappointed. It's not Bam. I'm like, hey, sorry. It's, they're like, oh, and they just speed away. Like,
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think
a lot of responsibility comes with driving that around.
It is Hollywood.
Yeah, dude, roll down your window, man. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, man, fuck. What an asshole.
I just got a picture of Will Pendarvis and Bam's
Yeah. Dude, I don't know, man. It is Hollywood. You think you'd be able to get a chick to climb into that thing. I don't know.
Maybe
no matter what you look like.
Maybe put his hat on and a bunch of his gear and like a bunch of Elvis gear and then they'll think, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Or we could just get shit covered bum to drive it around.
No, I'll roll down the window. I'll just be like, yeah, I had a horrible boating accident and my face caught on fire.
I told you about shit covered bum, didn't I?
Yeah, the one on Hollywood Boulevard?
On Hollywood Boulevard. Can't miss them, dude. If you ever take a vacation to Hollywood, go to Hollywood and Highland and walk around the block. I guarantee you're going to see a shit covered bum because he's always there and his eyes are so yellow from Hep C. And then if you walk a block further, you'll find a guy in a wheelchair with no arms and his t-shirt says, faggots did this to me.
Oh, my God.
And then you see fake Supermans and Batmans and all the other superheroes. So they're even weirder than those guys.
You know the Superman, like the guy who wears the Superman outfit that looks like he got it from straight up Walmart?
Yeah.
We should show up with like a legit Superman outfit and just like do the same gag off 2 feet away from him.
Follow him around.
Watch him like see him. Come on, man. You're stealing my fucking thunder, man. You have a red Spider-Man outfit.
Hey, man. I'm trying to make some money just like you, dude.
You know what I mean, dude? That would be a serious feud.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll show up with kryptonite.
Yeah. Which I think is a bar of soap in that case, yeah.
Ivory soap.
Do you have any desire to see that Superman movie?
Nope.
Man, I don't know, man. Like,
I know the story already, but the graphics look, you know, kind of cool.
Are they cool?
Yeah, they look great. Like, all the, you know, CGI and all that stuff looks pretty good.
I just don't like the fact of having, like, a superhero where you can see his face. Like, I like the faces covered up, you know, like, I don't know. It just looks like some homo dude with some faggoty haircut, like, running around in some Superman outfit. It looks so gay, dude.
Well, how could you not in blue tights? I mean, come on.
Do you think that guy's going to have the curse of Superman like the other two? You know, each one shot himself, the other one, you know, Christopher Reeve died from an accident, yeah?
Yeah, dude, I'm not one to believe in, like, superstition and karma and all that shit, but, man, I would not, I don't care if they're like, yo, 200 million, you could be the next Superman. I don't care, dude. I ain't winding up falling off a horse, dude.
Spending quick.
Spend that money quick, dude. Fuck it. Hey, all right, well, I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play International Noise Conspiracy. This is an older track, and they're from Sweden. This is called Smash It Up, followed by Bloodhound Gang, I Hope You Die. This is Radio Band Series 28 for Action.
Smash it up, all the workers who spend hours into nothing. I wanna smash it. forced to swerve in front of the Beatles tour bus, a Propofol and a Mack truck, hauling hazardous biological waste. The light turns red, you have no brakes, and hard copy gets it all on tape, so you can't see the look on your face. Not veteran, close down a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and maybe some Orphans having Christmas dinner. Perhaps even the British royal family, and the rabbi that's clutching the bottle fed coffee. And we can't forget the newlyweds, and those Jerry's kids are as good as dead. I hope this helps to emphasize. I hope you die. I hope the cellmate that he's got puts CNN reverted in the bowling ball bag. Bob serving time again for a piece of a corpse. Only this time the victim paid by jail force, while he masturbates to photos of livestock. He does the silence of the lambs in the Christian rock. Eats species and quotes from deliverance, and fights with his imaginary playmate Vince. Die, 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 die. Jack Nicholson, and forces you to play a game called Balls on Gin. And whatever happens next is all a blur, but you remember this can be a verb. And when you finally regain consciousness, you're bound and gagged in a wedding dress, and the prison guard looks the other way, 'cause he's the guy you flipped a bird the other day. I hope this helps to emphasize. I hope you die.
Radio Bam.
Turn it up.
This is Brandon.
You know, do that voice you do. I don't fucking do that.
Whoa, whoa, this is Radio Bam, Sirius 28 Faction.
That was Bloodhound Gang, an older track from Hooray for Boobies called I Hope You Die. And I'm here with my manager, Terry Hardy, and Will Pendarvis. And I just went to go visit Joe Franz in South Philly, which is a pretty, like, ghetto area. Decided to take the Murcielago up there to visit him. I swear to God, there's this group of, like, eight-year-old black girls, and I stop at a red light, and she goes, she goes like this to me, "Damn, nigga, that cough's out of shit, yo." You're eight. Yeah, why are you talking like that? An eight-year-old girl. Damn, nigga, that call be fat as shit, yo.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, it was so disturbing. I was like, how does your mom let you talk like that? Like, what the hell is going on, dude?
Wow.
She probably already is a mom.
Yeah, I know. And the sad thing is, they just fixed the projects all around there. And, you know, they thought that, you know, fixing up the projects would make it look better. Swear to God, not even 5 months go by, they realized that the piping in the bathroom was made out of, like, bronze, when before it was made out of, like, chrome or something. And bronze you could sell for $10 more, so half the neighborhood ripped out the bronze piping to sell it for crack. So they sold all this, like, cool bronze piping to the pawn shop or whatever. So now all their bathrooms are just ripped to shreds. Like, dude, you can't make a ghetto nice, because it's just going to turn to shit in 5 seconds. People are going to tag it. People are going to rip out the piping to go sell it for more crack. Dude,
there's a reason why a ghetto is a ghetto. It's because they're all drug addicts and they fucking deal drugs and they take anything that's valuable to sell it for more drugs.
So there you are in a place where people rip out the tubing from their bathroom to buy crack in your Lamborghini. When, I mean, come on, dude.
Well, the good thing is, though, they all recognize me and like the show. Like, I actually pulled up to a gas station, a group of all these gnarly looking black dudes in Ducatis pull up. I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, and they're just like, oh, shit, dude, you're that nigga from Viva La Bam. I'm like, and I had this strange look. He's like, what, you think us thugs don't watch that shit? I'm just like, well, it's awesome that you do, because I was pretty damn scared getting gassed in the ghetto because I was on dead E, dude.
Hey, speaking of that area and Joe Franz, first of all, did he sell his piping? Number two is he took me to some diner, which were right around his place, where I guess where all like the mafia guys go. It's like some diner, said like three people have been shot there. It's like a little, you know what I'm talking about? Like a little breakfast joint?
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, dude, South Philly, I mean.
It's heavy.
You know what's crazy? Like, I'm telling you about South Philly ripping up piping and all that shit. North Philly's the worst, and then West Philly's a little less worse than North Philly. South Philly's pretty okay. And
Well, all like, the wise guys were in there. They're all in, like, their corner booths and everything, and Franz was saying, yeah, they all sit in the same booth every single day.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the vibe in there is so heavy, you know? It's like, why are you taking me here?
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly out there, man. I don't really like to. I probably shouldn't have drove the Lambo down
there. Yeah, really.
The last time, when I had my Audi S4, I was driving down there, and, like, some dude just didn't like the dope. Like, he must have been jealous of the dope rims. He fucking picked up a can of, like, soda or something and just chucked it right at the car. And the last thing I'm going to do is get out the fucking, say, what the hell is your problem? Because
really,
all that would mean is a big, big beating for me.
Oh, dude, I have a question for you. I heard that there was going to be a Jackass video game. Any truth to that?
Well, there was a lot of talk about it. We don't really know yet, because you know, I'm negotiating a lot of video games myself, and
dude, yeah, when's a BAM video game coming out, man? Come on, Mr. Manager, dude.
Hey, we've been working on it for a long time because we want to do it right, and we've got a great concept, great people working on it, and it's coming, but we don't want to put out a piece of shit. And I think part of the problem is that people just put out video games based upon stuff, and the gameplay sucks and everything else, and we didn't want to be one of those people, so we're doing it with full CKY BAM flavor.
Awesome. Man, that'll be awesome.
Give us a year or so. About a year.
About a year?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll take some clips that Joe Franz filmed of his and try to come up with something funny. And speaking of Joe Franz living in a really bad part of town in Philly, he refuses, even if he had $1 million, he would still drive the worst piece of shit Volvo station wagon ever. And you know what he does? When he parks it, he trashes it with McDonald's wrappers all the way to the brim, dude. And I'm like, why don't you clean out your fucking car, Joe? Like, I had to get in there one time to drive somewhere, because I think my car got towed when I stayed over the night, and I had to, like, pile up on all this McDonald's trash. I'm like, Joe, you gotta be fucking kidding me, dude. This is so disgusting and filthy. He doesn't do it because he's a scumbag. He does it because he's sick of his car getting broken into, and he says that if he piles it up with McDonald's wrappers, everybody will leave it alone.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like he needs a garage.
I know.
Isn't it his birthday? Shouldn't you say happy birthday?
Oh, yeah, today's Joe's birthday. Happy birthday. Call me back, bitch, because I'm going to Australia for 10 days, and my phone's not going to work, and we need to handle some business.
Mm.
So this one goes out to you, Joe. And I'm going to go because we have a screening to be at. So this is Cradle of Filth. It's called Medusa and Hemlock off their album Nymphetamine. And they're actually working on a new album. And Villa Vallo from him makes an appearance on it. So get ready to go buy that shit. So happy birthday to Joe Franz. And cheers to Danny Filth. This is called Medusa and Hemlock. And Radio BAM Series 28 Faction 7.
That's Radio Bam for this week.
We're done.
Tune in next week for more.
Everybody. You can leave now.
It's Radio Bam.
Radio Bam, everybody.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific.
Email me now at Radio Bam.
Why don't you take a picture of your sweet white ass and send it on over to Radio Bam at Sirius-Radio.com.
Call Radio Bam at 877-PORN-BAG.
That's 877-PORN-BAG.
Sweet dreams, Peapod.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
On Sirius 28 Faction.